We're going to read now, and it's from Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 to 3. And usually, for Chris, this is a short reading, because whenever I'm up here, I normally get one that's about this long. anyway, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So we're going to sing before Chris comes and gives us, does his thing, which is a bit different this year, isn't it? I think you should have done your intro before, sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah, let's do it now and then do the song. Yeah.
As Pete's just got it, we'll do it.
Thanks.
Well, good morning and Happy New Year, if I've not already said Happy New Year to you. I want to start by going back to our mission statement. Thank you. We believe God has called us to build a loving, worshipping, learning, evangelistic and spirit-filled fellowship here in Burwell. I wonder if you can remember that off by heart. I can always get four. And I'm scratching my head thinking, oh, which one have I missed this time? And I go through it and I find a different four, you know. But that's what we say we want to do and what we believe God's called us to do here in Burwell. And we invite all those who share that vision to join us, to become part of what God is doing amongst us. So that's sort of gone on for many years. But each year we try and find a specific Bible passage to inspire and guide us for that year, to try and focus us. And what? How do we fulfill that calling this year? What particular calling is there? Last year, we thought about the text, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, from 2 Corinthians 3:17. I want to think back over that year and try and remind you about what God has been doing in the last year and how we try to fulfill that calling. It's always very difficult because I try and split it out under the different headings of that mission statement. And of course, we do things for multiple different reasons. So we might, you know, have a barbecue, which is partly about fellowship, but it's also about evangelism. It's also about, you know, building up one another in the Lord. You know, there's all kinds of different things going on. So I may mention things more than once, and I may not mention it in one area, but mention it somewhere else. And I'm also going to thank people, which is always dangerous, because I know I'm going to forget to thank some people. Please don't feel neglected or left out or that I'm not grateful, but there are people that I particularly wanted to thank. So with those health warnings, thinking about being a loving church, it's a great privilege as elders to be able to administer the pastoral fund, and we've been able to give some confidential financial support to those in difficulty in the fellowship, and even beyond the fellowship. And that's enabled by your generosity. So thank you to those that give to that fund and make that possible. It really does, sometimes even a very small monetary gift can mean so much to people. You know, we've just seen people's hearts being melted by really small practical gifts. So thank you for that. We're grateful for Kath Robinson, who's coordinated the pastoral visitors, and that's that sort of long-term accompanying with each other, where a person prays with you and talks with you about how things are going and continues to pray faithfully for you. We've had our fellowship meal in May and then a really successful barbecue in August. I'll show you this picture because it's the picture I've got. There were more than that there. It wasn't just the blokes that were out there eating all the food all the time. Some of it did make it inside. And then we had the harvest lunch in September. I understand that went well as well. We were away on holiday, but I understand that went well. I wanted to thank Sally Foister, who, amongst other things, has relaunched our prayer partners scheme. So whilst the pastoral visitors scheme is that long-term, ongoing accompaniment, the prayer partners is short-term, just for a month, to get to know one person and pray for them in a concerted way over that month. I found that really helpful. I don't know about you, those that have been involved, both that you get to know that person a little bit better. They open up a little bit more deeply because they've been given permission to do that, and it does knit the body together. So you continue to pray for them even when you're no longer their prayer partner, but it does just give that ongoing different people over the course of several months. So thank you to Sally for restarting that, and thank you for Gina, who did it for many years before. I wanted to mention at some point that we did raise some money. We raised some money for Tear Fund. We raised some money for It Takes a City. We're a small fellowship, but it's a generous fellowship, and we've given to those different schemes during the year. So thank you for that. I also wanted to say how amazing it's been to see people grow in their giftings, to see people step out in faith and try things for God. You know, whether that's been in the evening services or sharing a word in the morning service or whatever it is, well done. Keep doing it. But also using your gifts in other ways. You know, in the evening service, we've had people give testimony about what they're doing in different charities, different mission outreaches. And that's great. Using your gifts, the particular gifts that you have, not as a church, but as supporting you as a church. So it's great to see the church loving in those different ways. We ran an AED, Automatic Electronic Defibrillator, training day. And it's sort of like a really practical thing, isn't it? And it is a loving thing because we want to help people. If they're having a heart attack, we want to be able to help them. But people from outside the church said, "What a great day! We really ought to do that again! You ought to do more things like that." And it's like, well, we do actually do things like that every week. But, you know, there's something we do every Sunday you could come to. But it just connected with people. And we just see God blessing that and an expression of love that was there and was appreciated. Thinking about worshipping over the last year, you know, prayer is a key part of worship. And to help us in sharing those prayer needs, we moved our model of communication for that from the Facebook Messenger to WhatsApp. We've come into the 21st century. We've been dragged, kicking and screaming, into the 21st century. And whilst not everybody is on that, a lot more people are on that than were on Messenger. So there has been an uptick in people sharing prayer needs and ongoingly updating us on what's happening in prayer. So that's been a step forward in our praying for each other. And we continue to make prayer a priority in other ways too. We have, for a small church, well-attended Monday evening prayer. We pray before the service and offer prayer ministry following the service. James, as well as everything else he does, organises the monthly prayer walk around the school. How did you get on? Cold, I imagine. But bright. Yeah, yeah. And we've seen some results from that as God has answered prayers over the school. So, yeah, thank you for that. This is all part of worshipping God and listening to him. You know, Ant was saying about sensing God's doing something here today. I really genuinely believe God moves every week, doesn't he? Every week God is at work amongst us. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. If only there were a song about that. Yeah. So God moves in supernatural ways. I'm grateful for our worship leaders, service leaders who offer their gifts, give us space to exercise our gifts. Particularly blessed that we've had Pete and Mike and Nick, and then Dave Foister joining us to build up that team. And great to have Lynn back, able to play the guitar again and being able to move her fingers sufficiently to play some chords at least. I had the privilege, I'm going to call it a privilege, you know, when something's really difficult, there's a euphemism for it, it's a privilege. Yeah. When Andy wasn't well, thanks Andy, I had the privilege of doing the live streaming, or as Autocorrect called it recently, love steaming. So I didn't realise that Andy did the love steaming every week, but apparently he does. But I had the privilege of sitting at the back. This isn't an invitation to all sit at the back, but I had the privilege of sitting at the back. This is going somewhere. And during the worship time, I noticed, I thought it was me to start with, the whole congregation was swaying. I've never noticed that we do it when I've been amongst you, but Andy might notice it, and he'll definitely notice it now. The whole congregation swaying in time to the music. I mean, not quite as pronounced as, you know, like Auld Lang Syne, but just like resonating to the worship. And it really moved my heart, because I thought, you know, we're not a church that want a performance. We don't want somebody to just show off how brilliant they are. We want to be part of worship and to be the congregation worshiping God. And I really felt like the body of Christ resonating with the Spirit in worship. That is wonderful. So for all those who lead us in worship, that's what we're aiming for, isn't it? Is not perfection, not musical perfection, but for us all to be engaged, whether we're singing out with our voice or simply resonating. That's my new word for us in worship, resonating in worship. So look out for that, Andy, as you're at the back. We've continued to be blessed by those who contributed to Let the Redeemed of the Lord Tell Their Story. We've had such powerful testimonies this year. I mean, there's been three occasions that I've had nothing. Nobody said anything to me before the service, and I've come thinking, well, we'll worship. I don't know what we're going to share. And come away thinking, wow, there are some really powerful testimonies there. So thank you. Keep that up. Just really seems to be taking hold and people really sharing deep things. So let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And in our evening communions, we've had several different people lead that over the course of the year. I'm not going to list them all. Please don't feel left out. But, you know, each of those has added to the richness of our worship. Do you agree? You know, it's really helped us to grow as in our body ministry. So thank you for that. And a particular thanks to Nick, who leads us in those times particularly. I know Pete often supports him, but thank you for that, Nick. When you sometimes, not always been easy, but thank you that you've been able to do that. And we celebrated Freya's baptism together in our worship, and that was a great time, wasn't it, to just enjoy the Lord and celebrate with Freya over that decision to follow the Lord. So that was a great time in this year. That will be a memory for all of us, I think, Nick, as well as for you, and hopefully for Freya. So learning. I always have more slides for learning because I've got them already, but you know, learning is important. We focus on scripture, trying to apply that into our lives. We thought about our year text, 2 Corinthians 3:17, and thanks to Kath for the banner for that. That has kept us right through the year thinking through about that, the importance of the Holy Spirit in setting us free in different areas of our lives to worship God. We had our unity service, 19th of January last year. We had our More and More All Age series, which went far better than I imagined it might. I thought it was really good. It was really interesting how different people interpreted that and used that through the year. We had our series on power in weakness in 2 Corinthians. I don't know if you noticed that little clever bit with the letters wobbling. And it took a long time that day, so you've got to appreciate it. wow, isn't that powerful? I found that really powerful, thinking through just how much Paul suffered and the difficulties he went through, not just from direct opposition to the Christian gospel, but just life, the things he went through in life, and the exhortation that we should continue to press on through those things and not let that be a distraction from what God's doing. We did something a little bit different, thinking about four-dimensional listening. We sort of tried to hear scripture read four times, and this was the picture that I used, which was a painting reputedly by Van Gogh, but maybe not, which they'd x-rayed and they'd used different light sources and light from different angles to show it in different ways. And we thought about scripture in that way. And we did that again recently with part of the Christmas readings. Then we had a Good Friday reflection and Easter. Remember back to the heady days of Easter. We picked up in Acts, the Spirit-filled church. We did that a couple of times during the year, sort of various chunks of that. Then we moved on in Old Testament heroines. And again, I've had people say to me, oh, I didn't know that. I never read about that before. You know, Rahab, didn't know that story, didn't know the connections. And for me, the genealogy, seeing how all these people were related. Fascinating how Ruth was related to Rahab. Didn't know that before. We had Science Sunday with Andy Boston, thinking about where did your energy come from. We had the characters of Advent. We thought through some of the different interactions and relationships through Advent. And then, as Ant mentioned, we had our carol service and our Christmas Day service. Yeah, lots of visitors in. Lots of visitors, carol service, and lots of visitors on Christmas Day as well. So I wanted to thank all those that have preached or led communion services during the year. We've had visitors, Jim Gawley and Alan and Megan Barker came as mission visitors. Still thinking about learning in our life groups. We've tried each week, both online and in person, to take what we've heard and apply it. And, you know, this is where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? Where you take hold of what God has said on the Sunday and say, yes, but what are you going to do about that? How are you going to respond? We used, following the service each week. We also used a video series, Pursuing Peace, which helped us to think through how to have peace in anxious times. And that, again, is very relevant right now, but was relevant then too. So we've found those groups to be great discussions and a great time of practically applying what we've learnt. So evangelism. We started off the year. I had to check my diary. Was that really this year? Yeah. We did Alpha at the beginning of this year. It feels like about 5 years ago, but it was the beginning of this year. We started it off. It was sort of on and off during the beginning of the year. We had some great discussions, trying to put into practice what we'd learnt week by week. But we also had some lovely meals. Some weeks we didn't have any non-Christians there, so we just had the meal. And we said we could just do this every week. Brilliant. We also discovered that Peter Wells is very good at making mashed potatoes. So if you ever need mashed potatoes, he's your man. Vanessa, Anne, and Peter carried on the Alpha course with Scylla, and they finally finished it about August time or something like that, but well into the year. But bless them for doing that, because it was such a blessing into Scylla's life. And I think, actually, for Vanessa, Peter, and Anne as well. You know, it was a really helpful time for them. But yeah, we give thanks. That was obviously God's timing, and we know that he goes and looks for the one, doesn't he? The one and brings them in. So thank God for that. Most of our evangelism is, of course, one-to-one. We don't organise all our evangelism as a church. It's mostly done through you and I sharing the good news with the people that we meet in our day-to-day lives. And Peter was the one who not only makes mashed potatoes, but also brought that word about they will come in one by one. And I think that's resonated with us as a congregation too, that that is what God is doing right now, bringing people in one at a time. In June, we had the away day, Talking Jesus with Rachel Heffer. The day when she brought us input from a survey about where people were in their relationship with God and with Jesus. We had prayer and worship and then time to apply what we'd heard into our context. It was a really good reminder that many people are more open to talking about Jesus than we think. And I think it challenged us and perhaps invited us to start those conversations and perhaps to follow up on those conversations. We're reminded we don't need church programs, that we can do that individually as God leads us. As a church, we responded by making the gospel available, practically, physical copies of it available outside the church, and for download so people can just scan a QR code and they can get it on their phone. And we've been working on a section on our website called FAQs. Do you know what FAQ stands for?
Frequently asked questions.
Frequently asked questions, that's right. So we've been working on that and putting some answers from ourselves, but mainly giving links to other places where they can find information. So if people come looking for answers, they've got somewhere to start. Because the internet, it's got an answer for everything, but usually two contradictory answers to the same question. So it's nice to have a filter of you know, these are good places to look, rather than just take anything that the internet says. So we're going to encourage you to share good news with others, and we've tried as a church to offer those crossing places, those places where you might meet non-Christians, or where you can meet unbelievers or bring unbelievers in to learn more and experience more. We tried to respond to that calling to build an evangelistic church by getting out into the community. And I'm going to talk about reflections here. I mean, in a way, we invite people into reflections, but it is an open group. It's a group that is designed to bring people into one of those crossing places. And they take the decision to open that to men as well as women. So that, again, is opening up the possibilities of bringing in friends into that. We've gone out into the school assemblies. In the school, I personally have gone in to do the Christmas talk with the children. And we've been working then with churches together on a number of different things. Refreshments at the farmers market. Not just doing that by ourselves, but doing it with the churches together. Taking in the book, It's Your Move, which helps the children as they move up to secondary school. We did the Walk of Witness together, Easter time. We had the carnival with those new games to draw people in, and it does work. People come and they start doing that, and they start chatting with you. It just breaks down that barrier. We had remembrance together as churches together. We brought Crosstalk, the Burwell radio program, to an end after many years through the pandemic and then a few years afterwards. It's been a great way of getting the good news out there. We don't know who's listened to it some weeks, but then you find out people have listened to it, people you never knew had listened to it. And we've done our Nest Court services together, and most recently the Advent service, which was well attended and well responded to. Week by week, we've offered different things for children, whether it's the all-age service or the Sunday club. And, you know, it can be... Let's put it this way. You need perseverance to stick at doing Sunday club when you don't have any children. Now, the leaders don't actually go out there and do it without anybody, but they have prepared, and they come prepared each week, and just thank you for doing that. And it would be, I think, such a backward step to say, we haven't got any children, we haven't got anything for children. If you bring children, we'll have a think about it. It's better that we're prepared, and then if people come, we can respond. And people have come during the year, and they've appreciated what's been laid on for them. So thank you for that. Rock Solid. That closed unexpectedly, and then we had to find a new way of doing it. But the Lord's provided, and through Youth for Christ, from volunteers from the congregation, and from other Christians in the village, we've been able to restart that. you know, in everything that we do, we need to be flexible. So we keep our focus on mission, but flexible in how we deliver that. Susan likes to say, we pivot on a pinhead. I find change really difficult. But that phrase has come up several times in our elders' meetings. Yes, Chris, but we pivot on a pinhead. I've no idea what it means, but it sounds good. But yeah, we need to be flexible in the way that we do things. So cooking together at home has been a great example of that. Those are butternut squashes, for those of you who don't know. You're thinking that they're minions. So it's been a great example of that, sort of being flexible in the way that we do things. It isn't just the people that give the food out. There's a whole team behind that, those that work behind the scenes, planning it, planning the recipe, putting together recipe cards, shopping, packing the bags, counting that you've got the right number of things in the right bags, and then, of course, the distribution itself. It's a big team. So thank you, and thank you to all those that have contributed money and food to that work. It has been heartwarming to see the relationships develop during the year. It takes so much longer than you think to break down those barriers and start relationships. Again, mention for Sally Feuster, who's worked really hard applying for the grants. I've just been amazed. It's another of those moments you shouldn't be amazed, but I am. We came to the church meeting. We said to the church meeting, look, we're going to run out of money soon. Will you underwrite if we don't get a grant, because they're all saying no at the moment, will you underwrite the cost just for a few months so that we don't just have to pull the plug on it? The church meeting said, yes, we'll do that. Moreover, we will fund it ongoing if the money doesn't come in, because we think it's important. As soon as we did that, the money came in. Isn't that like God? Will you pay? Yes, we will. Then I will pay. He opens the floodgates of heaven. So praise God that he's provided everything that we've needed. But as ever, there's a lot of work that goes into that as well. There's faith, but there's also work. And Sally did a lot of that. Rule of thumb, back of an envelope calculation, I think we've given out about £6,000 worth of food to families in the last year. And we're a small fellowship, but that's really blessed families that are really struggling. Those relationships are the most important things, and those small gifts really help them, but it's the relationships we know that are going to lead them into relationship with God. We also were able to work with other organisations in the village to give the Christmas meals out, and lots of those went out. A lot of work, but again, a real sign of Christian love at that time of year. We tried some other outreach ideas. I've mentioned the barbecue already. We also had the quiz. That was great, wasn't it? Those that were here. Again, lots of visitors in for that. We had the different craft events. Shona is amazing. Her mind must be full of glitter. and Prit and things like that, because whenever she does these events, they're fantastic. In the summer, we suddenly had a bus turn up with a load of children from somewhere else. It was like, wow, that's great, come on in, because we had enough for them, so that was brilliant. We also gave out the real Easter eggs that have the message about Easter in them, and the real Advent calendars that have the message about Christmas. Gave those to the Cooking Together at Home families. I wanted to thank Andy. Sits at the back, but he doesn't just sit at the back. He does a lot of work, hard work afterwards. And when he's away, I discover how much work he does. So thank you, Andy. I'm glad I don't have to do that every week.
That's why I'm not allowed to go on holiday.
Yeah, you're not allowed to go on holiday. No holidays. And not being ill again would be good. Thanks to that, God's message is reaching people it wouldn't otherwise reach, and people that would be isolated. It helps to make it easier for people to come in through those doors, because they see that outside of the building it's hard to come in. But having seen services, they know we're just ordinary human beings and they're able to come in. At the moment, we have 73 subscribers on YouTube, which is certainly more than there are in here this morning. 67 people viewed Freya's baptism. That's 67 individual views. There may be a couple of people watching each of those streamings. So you just think, the building was quite full, but then there's that as well out there. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and again, it takes time, it takes effort. And, you know, I know that there are people that are getting a million views on their Twitter feed or whatever, and we're talking about 60-odd. But if people are actually watching, they're choosing to do that, aren't they? And I think that's important. So, yes, on a regular week, we get, you know, 30-odd people that will be watching online. Yeah, and several people that joined us during the year in person, first of all, watched online. That is the new way. You don't just turn up somewhere. You watch online first. So thank you for that. Notice boards. Through the generosity of members, we made a significant investment into our external notice boards. I hope you agree that they are better. The polling station one is not permanent. Though it felt like it was at some times last year, didn't it? Our main focus in mission is always going to be local mission. But we have raised the profile of our international mission with our missions of the month. And one of our members was directly involved in overseas mission. Spirit-filled. I'm convinced that the Spirit is working amongst us every week, every time we meet. Sometimes in more other obvious ways than others, whether it's through the operation of spiritual gifts or healings or being convicted. When we receive those words from the Lord, we want to take them seriously and respond to them and not just think, oh, well, that's lovely, but we try to do what we feel God's saying to us. We've had words, particularly when we'd gone away on the away day, we sat and we listened to God and we wrote out a sentence and God spoke to us through those sentences that we gathered. And we tried to reflect on the jigsaw. You remember that wretched jigsaw? There it is. You will notice it is complete. Stephanie is currently framing it so that it can go in the National Gallery. People think, well, how difficult can it be? Well, blue. It's all blue. The sea, there's a lot of sea in the world. That's what I learned. But we reflected on what God might be saying to us through that and tried to learn from that too. I don't want to go into the details of that because we haven't got time this morning, but there'll be more time and opportunity to share what you've learned through the Spirit this evening. So I encourage you to do that in this evening service. Some time ago, God promised that we would be a beacon. And in this last year, we felt God was saying, the beacon is lit. The beacon is lit. And I think as I've tried to lay out before you some of the things that we've done, you'll see how the light is shining out of this little fellowship. That we are responding to God's calling. God spoke to me some years ago about becoming a community of peoples. And I think about cooking together at home and people that aren't attending the church at any other time saying to us, would you say that I'm part of your church? It's heartbreaking, isn't it? You know, that they want to be part. They're not yet ready to come, but they want to feel that they're part of the community. We have groups coming in like the art group. We have reflections opening up to men as well. We've got Rock Solid inviting people in and working with other Christians in the village. We got the ladies group and the men's breakfast and the life groups and even our CPR training, building community, communities of people within the wider body of the church. We got our online and in-person communities. There were people probably watching today, that have probably never been in the building. But they would say, if you ask them, you know, where's your church? Oh, Burwell Baptist Church, from wherever it is in the world. So we're becoming a community of peoples. We've had some sad events in the year, particularly the loss of Don Kite and Ingeborg Tozer. Really sad times. A loss that we feel as a fellowship, because they were important to us and we loved them and they really contributed into our life. It was great to be able to share the service online of Ingeborg's funeral, because it was a joyful occasion, an occasion that really spoke about her faith. So if you weren't able to go in person, you might want to catch up on that. It is worth watching. Building maintenance. Don't you love it? No, it's boring to me, but it's a necessary consequence of the blessing of having a building. If we didn't have the building, we wouldn't have any maintenance, but what a blessing it is to have this base for worship and ministry. Particular thanks to Pete and Kath. Because of that, we no longer have holes in the chairs. And thanks to Nick and Ant, that we have no longer have holes in our walls, or at least not so many holes in our walls. There is one that we just can't get rid of, but we're working on that during the year. A thanks to Pete, who, in addition to leading us in worship, carried about a ton of gravel, dug out the French drain — I didn't even know what a French drain was — and then filled it back up again. You know, these are the things, just another example of what goes on that you don't know. The amount of effort that goes into making this place still be standing the next week. So that was 2024. I'll tell you about 2025 after we've had a song. Thank you. So 2025. I want to look ahead into the coming year. So as we reflect as an eldership on what God's been saying to us over the last year, this verse seemed to fit well with one of the suggestions, which came from Hebrews 12:1. I'm going to be kind to those who like to learn it off by heart and focus on, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." I chose this picture. I don't know what strikes you about that picture, but what struck me was the knees.
Yes.
They look like they're runners that don't just run occasionally. They're bandaged up their knees because they've run and they've hurt their knees already, but they're still running. And that really spoke to me. There were lots of really muscular people, that I could have used as pictures, but these rather weary-looking runners seem to fit the picture better. And I put the emphasis there on perseverance, and that's what we're going to be doing, particularly this morning. We're going to be exploring this verse in the coming probably the coming weeks. For now, I'm just going to focus on that short phrase and how it fits with that prophetic word from last year. Never give up. Never, never give up. Never, never, never give up. Persevere. Let me break it down for us. So firstly, let us. This is a corporate exhortation. It's not an individual pursuit, but it is a choice. It's not inevitable. The writer is saying, let's do this. It's an exhortation that we should do it. Make that choice. Let us persevere. Let us run. Clearly a metaphor, thank goodness. I haven't run for many years and I don't intend to start now. In the New Testament, the word walk refers to the conduct of one's daily life. The way that you walk is about the way that you live. So we're called to walk in love, or live in love. Because of the context of this short bit of the verse, it's clearly talking about faith. The running, the way of living, must relate to living out our faith. We're not running away from something. We're running towards something. We're not running for the fun of it or for the health benefits, but towards something. More accurately, towards someone. Because the next verse goes on to say, fixing your eyes on Jesus. So we're running towards the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, the Lord Jesus. I think running suggests a degree of eagerness and urgency. It's not sort of like crawling, snail-like, but running with intention. In the coming months, we're going to explore what can help us to run, what hinders from running, and what will help us in running. For now, we're just thinking about perseverance. This is how Strong's lexicon describes it. Perseverance is used to describe a quality of steadfastness and endurance, particularly in the face of trials and difficulties. It conveys the idea of remaining faithful and patient under pressure, maintaining one's faith and hope despite challenges. No relevance there, then. Our year has not started very well. Our response to God's unfailing chesed love. Remember we talked about chesed, covenant love, last time we met together? This is a marathon, not a sprint. As Eugene Peterson put it, a long obedience in the same direction. A little later in the letter, Hebrews 10:36, you need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. That gives that sense, doesn't it, of if we stick with it, then we receive what God's promised. If we give up, then it's in question whether we receive the promises that God's given. We are to run the race marked out for us. It's not a race in the sense of a competition, is it? It's not like I need to get there first. The aim is that we all get there. That's our aim, for all to cross the finishing line safely. At times, that's going to be like the Brownlee brothers that Karen's mentioned in the past. I think it was the triathlon, wasn't it, where one brother was in a state of collapse and the other brother, rather than forging on ahead and winning in a better time, virtually carried his brother across the line. And sometimes it's like that for each other, isn't it? We carry each other's burdens. So it isn't a competition, but I think that metaphor refers here in this context to running the correct route for the race, sticking with the race that's been laid out. In 2011, Rob Sloan came third in a marathon. However, he was seen catching a bus 20 miles into the marathon before jumping off just before the finish. He then hid behind a tree and popped out to run the last bit of the race and cross the line in third place. I mean, if you're going to catch a bus, at least win. Rather foolishly, he pipped, the person that he beat to third place was a policeman. So he caught him out. In 2018, almost 250 runners in the Shenzhen half marathon were caught cheating when traffic cameras captured them taking shortcuts through the bushes. So it's not just one person, this is 250 people that thought, I know what I'll do, rather than running around the whole course, I'll just go through the bushes. This is the point of the metaphor. We need to run the actual route that God is calling us to run, not try to skip bits or run someone else's race. You know, I think there's always that challenge, isn't there, that we look at others and think, you know, Lord, I'm not doing what they're doing. God never asks you to run somebody else's race. He just asks you to run the race that he's laid out for you. Of course, this raises the important questions of what are we called to persevere with and when should we see the new thing that God's doing? And we're going to explore that during the year. But for this morning, I just want to apply that one word, persevere. To persevere in loving. We need to keep on loving even when things get difficult. If we don't, then it isn't love. It's not that chesed love, agape love. We need to persevere when things get difficult. We're clearly going to need to understand the difference between godly love and being manipulated or being driven by our guilt. But yet we need to persevere in loving. In worship, we have intentionally been learning songs which are about persevering in worship, even in hard times. I don't know if you've noticed that. Worship isn't just about singing, but it's good to have songs which encourage us to endure. And, you know, sometimes that gives you the strength to carry on, doesn't it, when that song comes back to your mind, you know, even in the valley, even when we don't see it. We keep on worshipping. Even when the lights go out, I'm still waiting for them to go out, we'll keep on worshipping. Whether that's praying around the school or prayer walking around the village, you know, we need to persevere in that. I want to encourage you to become part of doing that. We're going to persevere in learning. We're going to look at Hebrews 12 and dig into what the context of this verse is. We'll be going back to Acts. There's some great stuff in Acts that people never get to because they give up after the first few chapters. I found it great just pressing on through that book and seeing what we can learn. I've got a whole sermon series in my mind on one chapter of that I've never preached on before. But there you go. There's some really good stuff in there. We're planning to have Jews for Jesus come and lead us in a Passover meal on the 10th of April. We've got the Baptist Union president for the year, Stephen Fenimore. He's coming during the year. And we're going to persevere in studying and applying scripture. You know, if you've not learnt by now, I'm not somebody that just likes to preach. I want you to actually do what we're hearing from God. So we're going to try and carry on doing that. And in evangelism, we need to press on. We need to keep on persevering, to stand firm. Galatians 6:9. Says this: let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Whether that's rock solid or all age services or Sunday club or craft events, yeah, God asks us to do different things, but not to give up. The same with cooking together at home. You can get involved by donating food items or money or time. We're going to continue to encourage you in your witness, in your individual lives, but also to offer opportunities for invitation that you can invite people into events like the quiz, like the barbecue. I wonder if you've considered sharing our services online. I've started recently, every week now, I share our service link on my Facebook page for all my family and friends. And a surprising number of them have said thank you for doing that. I wonder if you would think about sharing that link. Further afield in terms of evangelism, we continue to support CSW, which is our mission of the month this month, AsiaLink, Youth for Christ, Home Mission, AIM, Generate, Stand By Me, YWAM, Mercy Ships, and BMS. I wanted to thank all the mission reps that keep that connection going for us. And this year, Jim Gourley's definitely going to visit us again from AsiaLink. We've got that planned in the diary already. Thinking about being a spirit-filled church in this coming year and persevering in that, you know, we help to build a spirit-filled fellowship by becoming spirit-filled individuals. I don't have a big bucket of the Holy Spirit that I can pour over you. I can't make that happen. All we can do is try and remove those barriers, the barriers to the Holy Spirit, and then allow the Holy Spirit to move through us and use the gifts that he gives to become eager for those spiritual gifts. That's part of what prayer ministry is for, at the front and at the rear. That those areas are for us to come and have those barriers removed so that the Holy Spirit can do that work in us and through us. It's the Spirit who gives us the ability to endure by faith. The Holy Spirit gives a believer a new heart and a steadfast spirit. He's the great encourager. He helps us in our weakness. He reminds us of Jesus' words. He gives spiritual insight. He intercedes for us. He helps us to know God as our Father. Do you think we need Holy Spirit to persevere? Yeah, at least four of us do. Without the Holy Spirit, we are not going to persevere. So we eagerly desire those gifts of the Spirit to help us to persevere. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, were promised. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I think we need a fresh infilling of the Spirit if we're going to persevere through this year. So I still believe that God's called us to be a loving, worshipping, learning, evangelistic and Spirit-filled fellowship here in Burwell. I still believe that God has promised to bless us and to make us fruitful and increase our numbers until we become a community of peoples. I believe that God has promised that we are and will be a beacon. This year, will you join us in that? Will you become part of that vision? Join in worship. Become a member if you're not a member already. Join our prayer partners. Come to our prayer meeting on a Monday night or before the service. Join the congregation group on Facebook or our WhatsApp group, 21st Century. Share that YouTube link for our services on Facebook. Volunteer to serve. Persevere in what you're already doing by not growing weary of doing good. Perhaps help us in prayer walking around the village. There's a map in the lounge and a highlighter marker to just highlight the road that you've prayed down. And the aim is that we do the whole village, to pray around the whole village. So there's opportunities in different ways to get involved. And tonight, opportunity to share and give thanks. So let's just pray and give thanks for this verse for this year. Lord, we thank you for this word, which already seems very relevant. And we pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would indeed empower us to stand firm and, having done all things, to stand. We pray that that perseverance will not come from a dogged refusal to give up or stubbornness, but it will arise from that power of life in us by your Spirit. Help us to see the new thing that you're doing, and to stick with the last thing that you called us to. In all of this, Lord, we pray that you will accomplish your purpose in this year. Amen.